Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
To school days and all that stuff, Spike Lee, but most folks mainstream will remember Lawrence Fishburne for being Morpheus.
Yeah.
That'll be the role they remember him for.
Right, right. Yes. Exactly right.
And wouldn't have happened if Will Smith takes that. It's crazy.
No, it would not. So, you know, hey, that's the serendipity, right?
For
that's
a Wild Wild West.
For a horrible movie.
To work with Selma Hayek. Now, yep, yep.
You know, I will
and
say.
And he probably made about $70 million. He probably got about $70 million.
But you know what's ironic is that Will Smith went on to make AI. Or iRobot, wasn't it?
iRobot.
Yeah, yeah. He went on to make a movie about artificial intelligence, but he wasn't ready for The Matrix in 99. So that's, and look, it's a heady film. So I think what he really means is that he didn't think the movie was going to do well. It's not that he didn't understand the vision. It's that nobody will be able to grasp this. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, it was a little bit of a, you had to really kind of dig in to understand.
Yeah, it was like
and
simulation
some people didn't
theory.
Want to.
Totally.
Yeah, simulation theory.
And like now, you know, of course, the directors say it was about a lot of other things beyond that. But you know, even in that time, you know, who the hell knows what it really meant.
So how much did he end up making for Wild Wild West?
I mean,
earning a massive. $80 million? No, that was for that whole year.
Yeah.
So not necessarily made for that, but it's going to be up there.
Yeah, I mean, Wild West.
Looks like 20. I'm seeing 20 in 99.
I'm seeing 7 million.
Okay.
But somewhere between 7 and 20 million, right? So, I mean, I don't know what The Matrix was paying. I mean, it had a bigger budget.
It grossed $222 million worldwide, despite mixed reviews, it says,
right.
Wild Wild West.
Okay, so I mean, there you go. Like the Matrix budget was $63 million.
Well, there you go.
And the Wild Wild West budget was $170 million.
Yeah.
So
you're saying I'm taking the one I'm going to be
treated
exactly like
right.
a king at. And
that's exactly
a,
right.
It's got a big time budget.
So
I guess I don't blame him too much. For
yeah.
That.
So I would just say my review of the Matrix is that it was a very good movie. I like I said, the effects held up very well for being 26 years old. And honestly, like the fact that it's AI. In 99, like the whole gist of it is there's this matrix that you're living in, which is a simulation with AI people. And there was a war with AI, and that's how we had to with these two different worlds. Like, we're kind of at odds with AI today in a way that we never have been. So to kind of watch that movie in 2025 is kind of interesting. You go back and watch, you're like, I'm telling you, you would think this thing, because you watch some movies like, oh man, this looks like crap in 2025.
Yeah.
But The Matrix is not one of those films. I will not watch the sequels because I've not heard good things about the sequels. And honestly, I think that was a self-contained enough movie that I get it. You know?
Yeah.
I don't need to go back into that world.
Is it Mr. Smith he's fighting?
Yes.
Okay.
The agent.
There are more of them.
They're called the agent.
Yeah, the agent.
And I don't know what those are supposed to represent or whatever, but yes, that's what they were. And they were like unstoppable. Like they couldn't, you know, but that's where they, like, that popularized the whole, I can't remember what they called the camera technique, but like when you freeze it and you move the camera around.
Wow.
Yeah, like that. There were some very innovative things.
Techniques.
Yeah, which is why I think it's just so highly regarded in 25. But yeah.
Good stuff.
Sunday. See you Sunday?
No.
About 9 a.m.
Well, maybe Saturday for a little while to see the American.
Animasola.
Yeah.
Animasola. All right, we'll come back. Parthu Padia is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about the Memphis basketball program, get his thoughts on the schedule. You know, what's next with the roster? Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Black Tie Moving has changed and moving the city of Memphis. They are the best. When you are moving, you're moving pieces of your life, not just things. You want to hire a moving company that's going to treat those things with respect, but also get the move done and get the job done so you can move on with your day. That's Black Tie Moving. I moved for the last time in 2020 at the onset of COVID. And obviously the times are much different now than back then, but I just remember how professionally done and great it was all handled, even through a global pandemic with Black Tie Moving. and they'll do the same for you. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Movement, they're changing movement in the city of Memphis. Call today. Last note on today's tennis match between Sinner and Djokovic. People are speculating, Jason, that this is the last match. One of the last matches, certainly for his career, but certainly maybe the last match at Wimbledon for Novak Djokovic. I mean, straight sets, right, to the young bull. Mm-hmm. Kind of feels like the end.
I would think so.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's, and that's, it could look, comes for everybody.
Father Time's undefeated.
That's right. And you know, Djokovic had an unbelievable career. Exactly right.
And he's talked about his body sort of failing him here.
Yes.
Toward the end. And him being impressed with his tennis and really just trying to beat his own body, beat Father Time, and play some good tennis still. He knows his best tennis is behind him.
Exactly.
He's a man who understands.
Exactly.
You know, sort of where he is.
I mean, if you look at his career, I mean, it's just, quite frankly, it's unbelievable how many Grand Slams this guy has. I mean, he's won the Australian Open like 8 times.
Mm-hmm.
Actually more. I think 10 times. He's won Wimbledon 7 times. He's won the U.S. Open 4 times. Won the French Open 3 times. I mean, in 2023, he won all but the Wimbledon. Wow. He won Australian, he won French, and he won U.S. in 2023, just 2 years ago at 36. So I don't think there's anything for him to, you know, you're going out number 6 in the world at 38 years old. If this is truly the end for the Joker here, I think it's a job well done, my man. So, but yeah, this center guy, man, I know he had the choke job against Alcaraz, but I think he's coming for it. I think he's getting his revenge on Sunday. And the only thing that we can hope in Memphis is that that doesn't happen to us later today at 3 o'clock with Kenneth Lofton.
Mm.
Because that will be the first thing on his mind.
I was wondering how you're going to bring that home.
You know, I think there's a lack of familiarity with what he's been doing. You know, when I brought to the table that this is the international MVP of the Chinese Basketball Association, a lot of people didn't know that.
Stunned faces, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yep.
And
I was one of them.
He beat out Eric Bledsoe.
So what?
He beat out Jared Sullinger. I mean, that is a real league. It's not, you know, the NBA or any of the European places, but you know, he's over there putting up numbers, bro. You know,
right. I mean, he had 40 in an NBA game.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, no, you can't forget that, John.
Anthony Say said Armando Bacot is about to get cooked today.
Has he ever shown anything?
No, he hasn't.
He's kind of right.
No, he hasn't.
Like, what are we doing with the anybody that's saying reserve a two-way for Bacot? For what?
Who wants that? Who's pushing for that? That's like one of those mythical.
Well, we have 3 of them.
Well, okay.
So I suppose
Mayshak gets one.
When Pullen's on one.
Pullen's on one.
Are you going to give him one or not? We keep one open like we did for Huff last year. We typically
exactly.
do that. The Climbins like to do that. You think it's going to be the same
yeah.
thing.
You're not giving that to Bacot.
And then your boy Small's got one.
Oh, Small did
Don't
get
forget
one.
About
That's
him.
Right. That's right. I mean, I think you probably could tell Pullen thanks for the memories, but it's a wrap.
If you like Mayshak better.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we know you do.
I mean, I just think Mayshak is – Well, a lot of people don't know.
Can he play an NBA game without fouling out? I mean, is it? Because you only get 6.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a fair question. I think my question for Zion Poole would be, can you play in an NBA game?
Well, especially on this team, right, because now you have so many guys on the ball.
That's
kind of like we were talking about with Cam Spencer. What's his way into the rotation?
Yes.
You can never see it for a guy like Zion Poole.
Not a chance.
Who's on the ball.
Yeah, I don't know right? where – yeah.
So, he doesn't need to be on this two-way.
No.
I would much rather you're testing a 3-and-D guy, potentially,
exactly.
like Mayshak.
Like, let's invest in that dude. Let's develop him, see if we can get out of him,
especially
you know,
since
low cost.
3-3s, yeah, you know. That's what he's got to do.
Yeah, this is an opportunity for him. I mean,
I'd agree.
This is
And Small's on the other one, and you keep the third one open.
Yeah.
For a big or whatever else, something else you like maybe
for
somebody
else. I haven't really been super impressed with Javon Small. I know he's only played one game, right? He only played the one in California, in the Utah Summer League. I didn't really come away thinking like, oh, man, he's going to get minutes for this team. Like, I think his path's going to be really tough.
It is.
You know, I mean, I know they drafted him, and there are some things he does well, and you know. But I think it's going to be tough. I mean, Cam Spencer. Not obvious, man. I know he's on the main roster now, and I love the shooting. I do. But, I mean, maybe there's a chance for him.
Only as a shooter, not as a ball handler.
Right.
And that's going to be the problem is if he's only good as a shooter, Well, then what is he doing for you defensively? Is he hurting? What lineups does he have to be at? That limits you,
right?
You know, a ton.
I get like Cole Anthony, like what the hell's going on with him?
They're just waiting. He's already gone because they need his money. So whether they stretch him and take it on his dead money, kind of like, you know, a smaller version of what Milwaukee's done with Dame.
A very small version of
right,
that.
Or you end up finding a market for him. Right now it tells you nobody wants him.
Yeah.
But they have to move on from him because that's Jaren's money. To get that done, you got to get off that money.
Yeah, like, so if we lost Marvin Bagley yesterday. I didn't hear anybody grieve over that.
Well, let Brevin know, because he said he thinks he's still with us. He said in the interview.
Well, I remember
it's over now.
There were people on social media saying that Marvin Bagley was going to unlock the Grizz against the Thunder. Like, he was going to be the guy that did it.
You see what kind of bigs Isolo wants in here? Yeah. You don't want y'all's finesse shooting bigs.
Yeah.
You know, running them down the floor like Jay Huff and Bagley. He don't want that up in there, trying to go one-on-one with folks.
Although Santi's still here, that's kind of what he is, isn't it? I guess they intend to trade
combo,
him at some point.
He's a combo four.
And everybody said that was a tradable deal that they gave him anyway. Mm-hmm. And you got to think he'd be a deadline guy that some contender would love to have.
A lot of people around here like Santi. I liked him earlier in the year. I thought he was making himself pretty integral.
I was ready to give
him
anything he wanted in the first three
weeks
of the season.
That's what I'm saying. Earlier, it trailed off, especially defensively and as a rebounder.
His game four was pretty good against the Thunder. I thought he ended on a good note.
And he ended in the playoffs, was solid with that game. But his play toward the end of the regular season tailed off.
Yeah.
It was good that he did have a good play.
Yeah, he had 23-9 in game four, which is very good.
Need him rebounding, man.
Yeah.
It kind of slacked off.
Yeah.
But if he does that and it puts some effort defensively, he's a quality player for you.
But yeah, like Cam Spencer's got, like, okay, so Conchar's gone, right? We assume?
Likely. Yeah.
Okay, so.
I mean, it doesn't have to be. As long as you've got, as long as Anthony's out here, you're back down to 15.
Right. So, there's probably a little bit of room for Cam as like the eighth or ninth guy.
Tiny bit of room.
Yeah.
Again, because he can't, you have so many guys to play on the ball now with Ty Jerome, who can also shoot.
Right.
Pippen, who can also score and handle the ball.
Yeah.
There's just too many ahead of him. You would have to be really down bad.
Yeah.
Some dudes injured and out before you would think it could get down to Cam.
Absolutely. Absolutely right.
And he's going to be, you know, defensively, he's not going to be able to help you. So
yes.
That's the other part about playing him. Boy, you better be careful.
Exactly. So, yeah, I mean, he'll end up probably playing 12 minutes a game just like Conchar. Spencer will.
And eventually become the new Conchar once Conchar's moved on.
Right. Which, you know, hey, like those guys have certain value, you know? I mean, it's not going to be
the contract.
You know, would you second round guy, whatever. If that's what you're getting from him, that's, you know, the question is like, what is, like, to me, you know, Gigi, what are you going to be? What are you going to make of this year? Because I know he's only 20 years old. I know. I get it. But at some point, it's like, it's time to.
I'd ask you to apply the same, what's his way in, you know, logic and pathway to him? Because you tell me, is he a backup four? Is he a four? Because if he's a four, he's a backup here, obviously. That's going to be the ceiling on him, so long as he's on a team with Jaren Jackson Jr.
Yep.
And if he's a three, well, you got Coward you just drafted. Everybody's telling us he's Kobe Bryant.
Yep.
So what's it going to be here?
And Jordan.
And Jordan. So okay, you're going to move Coward to the two, okay, and eventually KCP on, and he'll be the three, the starting three. All right, if you're telling me that, then maybe so. But we've got all these wings still, you know, between Coward and Vince and Jalen Wells. That's like, well, if Gigi's a three, boy, he's going to have to, you know, you're beating out three other guys that you said could be the starter at the three. So that's what I'm trying. What is the path for Gigi? And the other part about being a three, he's got to guard the three.
Yep.
Well, Gigi turning them hips and getting those hips open hasn't been the easy and most natural thing for him to do.
That's right.
And so I'd ask you, what's the path for him? Is it a deal where to reach his ceiling, especially if he's a four, it's going to have to be with some other organization? I think that very well could be a possibility.
Yeah, no, it could.
Law jams in both spots, both forward spots.
Yeah.
Maybe he can become the starting three and Coward goes to the two. He's your two of the future, perhaps.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a way you could play it. But I'm not, you know, what's that look like defensively? I'm not sure.
That's a fair question.
Maybe good if Gigi's good, but if he's not, and he's never been a plus defensively,
if he's not,
and Coward's just out there with Ja and trying to protect him, and, you know, Gigi's the only defense, that's not going to get it done.
Yeah, I just think these coaches, man, they're just going to go with what they know, which is, you know, the KCP and the Jalen Wells. I mean, I know there was some talk that Jalen Wells could be a two, but I mean, did you really bring KCP here to bring him off the bench? Like, I guess at 35 you could, but I would hope that he's out there starting because, like, the defensive and the pedigree that he brings.
just he doesn't. He's not to me. He's not athletic enough to be your starting two. He's great. What is he? 6'7" Jalen Wells.
Yeah, he's got size.
Yeah.
He's got good size.
I'm just saying. So on some nights, right. Dude, you're going to be guarding real smaller dudes that can get around you. The Anthony Edwards types. Is he that kind of dude that can do that regularly? We know we were throwing him out there.
Yep.
In the fire, he had to be against some of those kinds of guys. I just wonder. From an athletic standpoint, can he hold up as you're starting two? He is 6'7", 6'8". Like most nights, he's going to be going against 6'5s that are trying to blow past him. You know, he just, body-wise, he's more of your prototypical three. But if maybe there is a world where he's your starting two. He's just going to, he's going to get worked.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's
most twos in this league.
So, yeah, I think, the most likely scenario is KCP and Jalen.
Jalen at the three.
But KCP the two. Coward will have a chance. He'll have a chance. I wish he was playing. I wish we could see really what he could do. Because I do think these games would help him, But he's not healthy.
He hadn't played against anybody yet.
Right.
Even at Washington State.
Right.
So we need to see it. Yes,
I know,
you're right.
I mean,
would have been nice to see something here.
It's tough. The only thing that I have to fall back on is that Duke was going to pay him $3 million.
It's true.
And that gives me a little bit of comfort, but that doesn't get me very far.
And Shire needed to give it to somebody.
That's right.
But they had identified him as somebody they liked and thought would be key.
That does
mean something to me as well.
Duke puts out pros. Right. That is what they do. So, all right, we'll come back. Parthi Padgai is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Penny Hardaway's team and the scheduling and the offseason. Lots more to come. Stick around. Jason and John, ID China Fam, ESPN. The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is here for you. What are they going to do? They're going to help you make the most money for your home. It's just that simple. They know the market. They do the market analysis every single day. They live it. And they have been in every kind of market imaginable. They've been doing it for a long time. Highs, lows, everything in between. So if you are ready to sell your home, list it, get the most money for it, there's only one place you need to worry about talking to. That's the Live Love Group. But you got to reach out. Sold at LiveLoveMemphis.com.
That's right. I'm true to it, not new to it when it comes to Jennifer Carstensen. She really did sell my home. People have asked her, did you really sell Jason's home or is he just lying on the radio? No, she really did. Got me top dollar for that thing, too. And if you had seen the home beforehand, you'd really be surprised that she did. Then, as you probably, you might have heard if you've listened to us, she helped me find my dream home as well. I will forever be indebted to Jennifer Carstensen and her wonderful team. Includes April Darnell and a bunch of great folks over there. Let them show you how great they are. They speak Spanish and Mandarin as well. So you don't have to be English speaking to benefit from the Live Love team or to know how good they are. 901-625-5200, whether it's now or for later, lock that into your phone. Give Jennifer Carstensen a call. She should at the very least be one of your calls when it comes to selling your home. Give her the interview. See how much she wows you. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
Parthi Padgai covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian, and he joins us every Friday, and he joins us now. Parth, what's up, man?
What's going on, y'all? I'm outside a car shop here in Raleigh praying that my car passes inspection. It's Raleigh, North Carolina, by the way.
So you got to...
I remember those days.
So we don't have to do that.
We don't have to do it anymore here, but we used to.
Got you.
Yeah, so I was going to ask y'all. So in Tennessee, you don't have to... There's no annual inspection?
Used to have to do that here in the city. Yes.
But not anymore.
I got you. Yeah, my car, like everything, even though I've been in Memphis for, 3 years now, everything is still North Carolina, right? Like my car is registered in North Carolina. My license plate is NC. My driver's license is in North Carolina. So my annual inspection was due, but when I moved to Memphis, man, that Memphis heat had me get my windows tinted a little bit too dark. So last time I was back home in North Carolina, it failed inspection in May. So now this is take two, and my fingers are crossed.
So you have to get it in North Carolina because that's where the car is registered, or what's the...
Exactly. Like I couldn't do it at all in Tennessee. I had to. I mean, I was going to drive home anyway.
Right. That's a pain in the ass.
No, we're going to need you to change that registration over, I think.
No doubt,
right? Because you live here now. We should.
It might be time. Yeah. It might be time to become a Tennessee citizen officially.
Let's give it up, Brad. Let's get a round of applause for the Memphian.
Unbelievable what he does.
He's been living here for 3 years and has not gotten his registration switched over to Tennessee. That's impressive.
He's basically covering the team like a tourist.
That's right.
He comes in town, he covers the team for us.
Man, I live in Memphis, man. I'm an honorary Memphian.
That's what they said about Tubby. They said Tubby rents.
All right.
Now, Tubby was out of here after two. So you've outlasted Tubby.
I've outlasted Tubby Smith, yes.
That's
yes.
I mean, no matter what happens from here, you got that. I lasted longer in Memphis than Tubby Smith.
Coming for Pastner next. Coming for that Josh Pastner tenure.
That's seven.
In terms of outlasting. That's seven, yeah.
Penny's outlasted Pastner.
Yeah, you and Jeff need to update your priors. Y'all had him at seven, I think, earlier this week.
This is year eight?
He's going into year eight.
Year eight.
If I'm not mistaken, right, Parth? This is year eight?
Year eight. Penny's going to year eight, yes. Penny is going to year eight. Pastner was obviously there for seven, yes. Yep.
I don't know that if when Penny took the job, I would have thought there would be a year eight. Not really? Not for any negative reason, necessarily, but just that it felt like it was not an eight-year thing for him, you know? Like, it just... not that I thought it would be a two-year. You know, it just felt like 8 years a long time.
Could be an NBA coach by now. Is that what you're thinking?
He could have been an NBA coach. Could decide, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. Could have, you know, a lot of guys have done that. Chris Mullin did that. Clyde Drexler did that. A lot of former players. But it just does show you that it is different with him, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, through all the changes, through all the variances in the college sports landscape, and he's had a bunch of them so far, plus everything that's happened within the program, right? Like all the ups and downs that we don't need to rehash, but there's been several of those as well. He stuck through it. So you gotta tip your cap to him that, you know, he obviously is in this for the long haul and he's showing it.
Yeah. And I think that's part of it. And that's why it was always different. Like those guys, when they got the job, they weren't doing AAU. They weren't doing grassroots. They weren't doing high school. Like Penny really is a coach at the end of the day. Like, this is not like, oh, I'm masquerading or I'm moonlighting because I like the sound of it. I feel like a lot of times former players get into it and they like the sound of it. And then they see it and they're like, oh, they're in over their head. And I think the fact that Penny is going into year eight of his tenure does show you that everybody that said he was different, like, that was true. He was different than those former players.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly not like you said, not a figurehead. He's not here for the idea of being a head college coach or because it sounds cool or looks cool or whatever. He's actually, you know, has a real passion for teaching and developing young guys, which is awesome.
How high should the expectations, and maybe they shouldn't be at all, Parth, you can help me out here, for Majuk in terms of this, the latest addition. We know he's from South Sudan. Is he, you know, are you expecting him at some point before the season? Sure, he's going to be on the roster and maybe even a contributing member. Is it a deal where, hey, let's kind of wait and see just where you at on, you know, the realistic possibility that he will be here and be a contributor for this team?
Well, my first thought when I saw the name or when I, you know, heard the name kind of pop up and realized that he was going to be coming was, okay, this guy's a project, right? Because I hadn't heard of him. I hadn't seen his name circulating on, you know, Twitter, or hadn't seen him attached to other big name schools or any schools really for that matter. So you're thinking, okay, he's a project. Then you watch the film and you look at the, you know, the height and the weight. He's, you know, 7'1", can shoot the three, can pick and roll, like looks pretty sturdy, right? For an 18-year-old, he's not scrawny, that's for sure. So you're thinking, okay, this guy could be something. Then we spoke to Penny on Tuesday, which I'm not saying Penny contradicted, you know, Penny went against the idea that he could be something, but Penny made it clear that, you know, he was going to be a kind of a question mark, right? Like a mystery box, so to speak. Okay. Yep. You know, they've seen a little bit of film on him. They found out about him through, just through somebody else. They discovered the guy and they brought him in because they have a need for bigs, and you can't do, I mean, it's hard to do worse. I mean, you can do worse is what I'm saying than Simon Majak at this point, especially given, you know, he's a guy that's going to be eligible for 4 years. You can develop him, you can keep him in your system, and he might be able to be something, right, in year two, three, or four.
None of that's going to happen.
What is he going to be?
That's not the guy that excels at Memphis. I mean, if it takes him 3 to 4 years, he will not. It just doesn't happen here.
Maybe 2 to 3. Look at him, man. He looks like a freak of nature, dude. Like, he's 7'1", strong.
Yeah, no, I mean, he does.
Very skilled.
But if he doesn't, like, Penny is a lot of things. Patient with guys ain't one of them. Like, you either can produce for him or he's done with you. I mean, like, I think that's it works for him, you know? Like, even Jonathan Lawson, like, didn't stay here for a second year. You know what I'm saying? And maybe there was more to that. But it's just, this is not the, like, you come here when you're a good player and you want to become great. That's how I would say it. Now, I know they need bodies and, like, all those different things. Like, they, like, they, there's a need for Memphis to have a guy in case of emergency. But
exactly,
you don't come here when you're raw and you need to be refined into a competent player and be able to put one foot in front of the other. Like, Penny ain't even going, like, Penny don't even know what he's getting here. Like, hey, Penny,
no,
I don't know. I don't know what he's getting here. Like, they'll let me know, I'm sure.
I saw the quotes. Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. Dude, he had no expected arrival date for the guy.
Right.
Like, I guarantee when is he going to get here?
I guarantee you Penny knew when Kendrick Davis was going to get here. I guarantee you he knew when Aaron Bradshaw was going to get here. You see what I'm saying? Like,
Shoot, no doubt.
And so that's just part of the thing here is, like, when I hear you talk about, all right, well, because that's the same read I got on the guy when I was talking to people about him. Like, oh, if you bring him in and you sit him on your bench and then three – bro, it ain't happening. You know, it ain't happening. But whatever.
This might be the one. The first one, right?
We can go through all the foreign guys that Penny has had. Ian Granja.
Who's the last one? Ian Granja, right? Yeah, right. Last one. Granja.
Yeah, whatever. His name was. And he stunk anyway. I mean, I don't think he ended up going anywhere, did he?
He went to Coastal Carolina. And I don't know if he played a lot there, but he was on that roster.
How about that? He averaged 3 a game. In 13 minutes.
At Coastal.
25% shooting from three. Stinks. So that's what happens, right?
He was a shooter. Damn.
That's 25. Oh, yeah. Shooter. 25% from three.
He's supposed to be a shooter. That's where they got him for shooting.
See, that's what happens with these overseas guys is that Penny gets sold a bill of goods because he doesn't see them personally. He doesn't, you know, and so he takes somebody's word for it. And, you know, all these folks just gasp, you know, hey, you got to see this guy, man. He's 7'1". I have not seen the guy play. My guess is because he was available at this point in the season, he can't walk and shoot.
There's a reason he was exactly.
That's my guess.
That's not a unfair assumption.
And I think
you've seen the film though, right? Like you've seen.
He's playing in the White Station's East Gym. Yeah, like I've seen the. You know,
he looks like a monster.
He's
like
playing
a
against
specimen, bro.
Middle schoolers. Okay, that's who he's playing against. He's playing against Ukrainians who are in conscription. That's what it is. So he's gonna come here. Penny's gonna get him on the practice court, and he's gonna think to himself, "Oh my God, what have I done?" That's my prediction. That's what I hope I'm wrong.
He could have come in here and dunk on Bradshaw.
If that happens, it's over. Mm-hmm. If Aaron Bradshaw, yeah. If he catches a body on Aaron Bradshaw, it's over.
Oh my God. I mean, it's going to be between him and William Wharton, right? Like you think is that last big in the rotation? There's no way all of them are gonna play.
This kid is not playing.
Total.
I don't even know if this kid's going to make it across customs. He's not playing. He's not playing for the Memphis Tiger basketball program next year.
That's a lot more difficult nowadays, isn't it?
I think we have given
getting into America.
I think we have spent more minutes on Simon Majok than minutes he will play next season. That is what
we may have. What are we at? Yeah,
we're like 5.
Yeah,
and then like we talked about it before today. Like you know, so if it's 15, it's too many. It's over. It's over already. This William Wharton kid is very intriguing to me, the business school of Wharton, only because I don't really know much about him. From people you talk to, is there a confidence that he can be a primary backup big or anything for Memphis, or is he just a bit guy as well?
I think like kind of end of rotation, and I don't mean this as an insult, but kind of playing out of necessity, right? Because there's not bigs on the roster otherwise. But I think we're going to see primary small ball. We're going to see a lot of 5 out, right? Like, if you look at who they've got now, you can probably just guess that Aaron Bradshaw is going to be the only starting big, right? Like, the only true big man in the starting lineup. And then off the bench, you've got, you know, Curtis Givens, Quante Berry, Julius Bedford, Ashton Hardaway. And I think that's your rotation, you know? So that's just, like, a lot of small ball, a lot of 5 out, and almost solely relying on Bradshaw as your lone traditional big. I think William Wharton could play because he's the next up in line when it comes to front court players. But I mean, he's a guy like who seems like a project also. He averaged, what, like 3-point-something points, right, at South Dakota State, if I'm not mistaken, a season ago. So he seems like somebody that, you know, is athletic, is 6'8", you know, has the physical tools, but you probably need to mold him as well. I think I might be higher on Majok, you know, than William Wharton a little bit, just because if they're both projects, one project looks a little bit more promising.
If there was a guy, if there's a guy to you in terms of the reason, and they're all new, so in a way we're just kind of picking straws here, but that's going to be the biggest surprise, right? He's going to be a lot better than maybe some had anticipated. Who would you put at the top of that surprise list?
Surprise, I think Julius Thedford, man. I've talked to y'all about Thedford. I'm really high on the guy. Like, you look at what he did at Western Kentucky before he got hurt. I think he got hurt in what, January? So played about half the season. He was on pace to win, you know, Conference USA freshman of the year. And I know it's Conference USA, but still, like, he was hooping. Kind of filling it up, had a big game against Kentucky, had a big game against, you know, other kind of marquee opponents on that schedule. And he hasn't really been talked about. And you look at him on kind of recruiting websites, and, you know, some places he's got 3 stars, some places you can't really find much on the guy, right?
Yep.
So in terms of hype compared to actual production, I think Julius King Thedford's production is going to far outweigh the lack of hype that we've got going on. But it seems like this is Sincere Parker's team, right? I think we can all kind of look at that and say it's going to be a thing that's run through Sincere Parker and Doug McDaniel.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely it. Which I'm, you know, I think that could still be good enough and probably should be good enough to win you the American, although the metrics do not think so. That is the interesting. There's a little bit of a disconnect there because you're Houston would have been every year you're behind them, but I guess you were behind FAU because they were coming off that Final Four run. So you'd have been behind them metrically because they brought everybody back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, outside of that, I don't know. I think the metrics are a little too high on South Florida personally. I know we're in July. It's a little early to be talking about Torvik metrics, but I'm just not – I mean, that Arkansas – especially that Arkansas State team, right, that he's bringing over the best parts of. Isn't that basically what it is?
It's a lot of that, and he's filled in the gaps, I think, pretty nicely, but nicely in terms of – relative to the rest of the league, right?
Right.
Not nicely in terms of relative to national, you know, prominence or, like, does that make sense? It's not,
yeah.
Like, he's done a good job. Yes, he's done a good job to be at South Florida, kind of build that roster on the fly. But I think you're right. I think based on who he's brought in and just kind of the names on the roster, the metrics do seem a little bit high. At least Bartorvik is a little bit high, higher than I'd expect on South Florida.
Parth, what's been able to schedule home and homes with Louisville and now Baylor? And obviously we know, you know, the local ones he's been able to sustain. Vanderbilt you've brought back on. But what does it say about, you know, the respect that Penny's garnered as a college basketball coach that you can get Scott Drew to agree to 4 years with you and come here first?
Man, it's huge. I mean, you look at Baylor under Scott Drew, like, they don't play a lot of these non-league games on the road, like in true road environments. I think last year they played, I want to say – it might have been two. They went to Gonzaga, right? Mm-hmm. And then they played somebody else on a neutral. But I was looking at the past five schedules for Baylor, and they're not just going anywhere. You know, so for Scott Drew to sign up to do this, and not only a standard home and home, but to do a four-year, right? Like, to lock this in for 4 years, that shows you that he obviously has great respect for what Penny's done and has respect for that Memphis brand, too. And I think – of course, CBS wanting to televise it shows you the power of Memphis' brand still.
Right.
Even though, you know, the program has not been to a season since 2009, like, Memphis is still very much nationally relevant.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, you know, you're going to have to do this every single year. Now, I guess some of those are, you know, sold up for 4 years and change. I mean, that is nice.
Louisville, 6 years, bro, 6 years.
Baylor and Louisville are locked
four
in.
Four and six, right?
Yeah.
You know, and
four
then,
and six, yes, sir.
You know, you're going to have to figure out, like, all right, you're probably going to have to just have a Baja Mar thing every year, just find a way into that.
Yep.
And then if you ever find your way into
players era.
Yeah.
That's the one. And, you know, Memphis was obviously, and it's not a secret, right? Like, they were trying to knock on that door this year too.
But I don't understand what's the holdup? I mean, that feels like an easy, like, hey, Memphis wants to play the players era with Penny. Let's get him in players era.
Yeah, it's weird. And isn't that field is growing, right? I think, if I'm not mistaken, that field's going to grow.
It's huge.
Even next year, it's going to get bigger, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, they probably will be in it next year, right?
I mean, you would think so.
I'd be sad if – I mean, they're getting these games on the schedule with most of these teams that are in players' era. So why don't we just make it easy and streamline this thing and let the Tigers in the players' era?
No, exactly. And I think especially if they have anywhere near the success they had in the non-conference last year in this non-conference slate, which, you know, might not be the fourth toughest in the country, sure, but I think it's going to be up there. you know, once it's all said and done, depending on if these teams hold up their end of the bargain, like it might be a top, I don't know, like top 15-ish strength of non-league schedule. And if they can have anywhere near the success they did last year, you know, whether it be going 9-4, 10-3, whatever, like I just don't see why not. Like I don't see why Memphis wouldn't be in the players era or whatever holiday NC they wanted to be in next season.
Yeah. Parth, great stuff, my friend. Enjoy registration. Let's get that switched over to Tennessee.
Safe travels, my brother.
I'll work on that. Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. He is Parth Upadhyay, covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian. Good stuff there.
So where Hodgson got a 3-year with Alabama over at South Florida, the new coach at South Florida came over, right? Important for the AAC because that's an improvement of schedule, right? Playing the Alabamas of the world.
Exactly.
And doing it, in that case, it's your old buddy.
Yep.
But it helps the AAC and Memphis in particular because when you're playing those teams, well, now that Alabama's, you know, on that schedule, does it fix automatically their strength of schedule? No, but improving that strength of schedule was so key.
Yep.
The problem is that these dog teams in the AAC with their bad schedules, just playing them, even when you beat them,
yep,
was pulling you down analytically. And so we said we needed these other teams in the AAC to schedule tougher. You know, it doesn't have to be Penny trying to have a top five, you know, non-conference schedule in the country, but you do have to get off the mat and schedule something challenging. And so, you know, shout out to South Florida, and you hope other schools are taking, you know, whatever you got to do it, whether it's your former employer or not. The AAC needs more schools, you know, scheduling like that to help the programs at the top.
Yeah, yeah, they do. And hopefully there's going to be somebody has some relationships across the board. Like,
you need that.
You know, you got like these, you can't just be getting these NPC-ass coaches, man, like Eric Conkle at Tulsa. Like, mm-hmm, he don't have no juice.
Yep.
Like, you got to hire dudes that have juice, that can get games, man.
He got them to do a 3-year series.
Right.
You know, two there, exactly, probably, and one at his,
sure,
place. But it's with his former employers, with his old boss. And that's going to help the AAC now for, you know, for 3 years.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. We'll come back, wrap this up here on a Friday. Jason and John, 90.9 FM. Yes.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Buying a car does not have to be stressful. If you're looking to buy a new car but you don't know where to start, Leaders Credit Union, happy to help you out. Don't just take their word for it. One of their members said that Leaders made our car buying experience a breeze. The loan process was one of the easiest I've ever gone through. Made the entire car buying process less stressful. That's happening every day at Leaders Credit Union. They make things so much easier. It's members of the community, not just people looking out for profit or you just being a number on a sheet. They are here for you at Leaders Credit Union. So what are you waiting for? Let Leaders get you in that new car today. Visit leaderscu.com/ESPN to get started. Leaders is your financial champion for life, federally insured by NCUA. We're back, Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN on a Friday. We love Fridays around here, man.
Yes,
Fridays are great. And we also love Fridays when the Grizzlies are in action in Summer League. Summer League is, you know, why we got into the business. You know, it's the best of the best. It's inspiring, you know. And, you know, I think we're all looking for a big dub today for the Memphis Grizzlies. Started at 4.5, that number out to 5.5.
All right, what it is much appreciated in this moments here, these weeks right before we get to, you know, NFL reset and then eventually college football, obviously, and then eventually back to basketball. But it's very nice, to be honest with you, as much as we probably overdo it in a sense.
Yeah.
But I am thankful for it because otherwise, boy, John be talking a lot of tennis right now.
I mean,
a lot of Wimbledon for you.
It'd be
a lot of 3 hours on Wimbledon if not for Summer League. So I thank God for it.
I gave you all the tennis I could.
It was pretty good. It was, I mean, yeah, it was quality. It was, and that was 5-6 minutes. Imagine taking that.
Yeah.
You know, trying to stretch that over three. That's why I thank you for the Summer League. I thank Silver.
I always say, like, you know, any contribution, 4 or 5 minutes here or there, over the course of these days is very much appreciated.
I enjoyed the takes on Simon because Jason and I spent a good bit of time watching YouTube clips that I passed along to your colleague here.
Yeah.
And I think I might have oversold it because I can clearly tell in your voice that you are not sold on the 7-foot Sudanese human.
Absolutely not. I mean, he's a bit player that you're picking up, you know, in August. I mean, in July, basically. And it's he can't. I mean, again, I've gotten, you know, reports on him. He was on radars, like way off radars.
Mm.
But he was like a name that people had heard of. But it wasn't like you know, you're not getting Kasparis Jakaciūnas here.
That's too bad.
All right. Are we getting Taco Fall?
Okay.
No.
Okay.
How about this? You're not even getting Hippolyte
Chaitov?
Yeah. Whatever his name was.
Good reference.
You're not even
well
getting
played.
Him.
It's all hip.
Yes. Hippolyte, yeah.
Which people loved Hippolyte. Yeah. He was a good guy. But was
also tall, right?
I mean, he was a big
6'8".
He was kind of a tweener.
Yeah, not as big as this guy. This guy's husky too.
Yeah, I mean he's 7'1", and so people are like, ooh, 7'1", but he can't.
It's thick.
He's 7'1" and was available in July, folks.
Good point.
Purdue knew that, didn't they?
Maybe they don't have a good visa program over there that Penny's hooked up with, you know, where you can get these dudes in.
You know what? That's exactly right. Memphis has the visa shortcut. Mm. Although I did see like 200 students from Ghana might have to leave.
Oh man.
Which is separate, but again, like, you know, this is what we're dealing with today. So, I have no hopes for this. Okay, I'm not even gonna sit here and like, oh, I have high hopes. I don't have any damn hopes for this kid. What are we talking about? You know, best of luck, man. But it's gonna be they didn't bring him here to play. They brought him here to be like literally sit at the end of the bench. And if somebody like if everybody drops dead,
I don't know that it's make or break. Yeah, having him.
Yeah,
at this point,
if Aaron Bradshaw gets dysentery and it spreads throughout the team, and somehow you don't get it, you can be our starting big. That's what it looks like.
That's good to have, then.
So, you know, whatever. You got to have it. That's the way it works. 3 p.m., got Grizzlies taking on the Celtics, and then the rest of the day, Jazz, Hornets, 6 p.m., got some, you know, intriguing picks, Ace Bailey, Conkanipple. So that's about the highlight of the day. But that's going to do it for us today. Thanks to Part of the Podgy for joining us on the show. Thanks to Anthony Sane as well. Jeffrey and Company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.